Certainly, we count it a joy indeed to be with you on this glorious occasion, and we are so thankful to the elders and the director, Brother Daugherty, for this gracious invitation to come and be a part of this grand lectureship series. For that, we are grateful unto the God of heaven. We bring you greetings from the Kibbe Street Church of Christ. My wife and I, we are just thoroughly enjoying all that we've heard thus far, and we thank God so very much for that. I have been asked to speak up just a little bit. It reminds me of a story I heard not too long ago about a young man who was in military service. And while he was in service, he had a thought about his mother and that he wanted to get her a gift. He was overseas someplace. And so he went down to the local pet store and bought her a bird. This was one of those exotic birds that spoke six different languages. And he said, I think my mother would really, really enjoy this gift. So he bought that gift and sent it home to his mother. Didn't hear anything from mom for a week. 2 weeks went by, 3 weeks went by, the fourth week went by. He had not heard anything from her. And so he gave her a call and said, Mom, I sent you a very exotic bird some weeks ago, and I've not heard anything from you. Did you get it? She said, yes, son, I got it, and it was delicious. He said, Mom, it was a very exotic bird. You wasn't supposed to eat the bird. It could speak six different languages. And she said, he should have spoke up. And so I tried to speak up as we are approaching the noon hour and preparation for lunch. But it's always good to be in the presence of Brother Daugherty and his family to certainly fellowship with them. And we have learned to appreciate them so much over the years that we have been acquainted with them. My responsibility is grace and obedience. Two wonderful words. In a day of age which we are living when there is much confusion and contradiction and regarding the grace and obedience subject, what a need for balance that we may come to understand each one of these wonderful and glorious words. To find out what the Bible says regarding these two words are not hard of understanding if we simply follow those truths from God's inspired book, the Bible. It will give us all of the understanding concerning these two wonderful words. Both are essential to us as Christians today in Christ Jesus our Lord if we are to enjoy this abundant life in Christ. John 10 and verse number 10. But not only that, if we are going to experience eternal salvation in the hereafter, certainly these words are essential for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we look to the word grace, it simply carries the idea it is a convenient term for all that God has done to make possible man's salvation. When we look at obedience, faith, it simply carries the idea, simply meaning all that lost man must do to appropriate the grace of God. Paul says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Grace and faith must stand together. It must fit just like a hand and a glove. And we'll come to understand that certainly they are a unique package from the God of heaven. And thus the expression grace only and the expression faith only has no real meanings, because these words certainly must go together if we're going to understand the wonderful grace of God Almighty. We sometimes sing that old spiritual hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And we're so thankful to God this morning that God has graced our lives. He has given us salvation. He has saved our wretched souls and brought us into a state of salvation. And for that, we're so grateful. And because of that, we must come to understand that God has made the provision that we might be saved. When we look down through the annals of time and see the eternal plan of God Almighty, Ephesians 3 and verse 11, and see all that is included in what God has done that man might live forever with God in the hereafter, there are certain things that we must come to understand that are inclusive in God's scheme of redemption and God's grace for us. We can begin to see God's grace when we go back in the annals of time and look down through Old Testament history. We can see God's grace as it began to be fulfilled, as he began to build the children of Israel to a mighty nation. We can begin to see the grace of God as he would guide them through his laws and precepts and commandment. All the grace of God again as he protected Israel again and again against all of the enemies that would come against them. God's wonderful grace as he's building this nation day by day and week by week and bringing them along whereby eventually the Savior might come forward. God's wonderful grace, and for that we are so grateful. We see the grace of God when we look at the Old Testament prophets. as they stand out and point to that Savior who is going to come down through the time of history. That's God's grace. As we study about the major prophets and the minor prophets, God's grace. And all of this grace of God includes so many things. It includes the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. God, who has sent his only begotten Son into a world that was so sinful, that did not want to receive God's Son into their bosom. When we look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse number 11, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so when we look to the Word of God and try to understand grace this morning, the birth of Jesus Christ is God's grace as he began to set forth the Son who would bring unto us redemption. If we would but simply obey those great commandments that come flowing freely from God's pages of inspiration. Inclusive in this grace is the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. As we look at the life of Jesus Christ and began to see him from a very early age, see him as a child, as he stood before the lawyers and the great men of his day, as the Lord would utter, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" The grace of God began to unfold unto us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We see him at the marriage feast as he changed the water into wine. The Son of God, the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. We can begin to see Jesus Christ again and see the grace of God as we look at his life. As he began that earthly ministry, and John, see him coming over the hills of Judea. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." God's wonderful grace. And for that we are so grateful unto the God of heaven. We see this grace is also inclusive of Jesus Christ's teaching as he would come and teach those wonderful riches of God his Father. Would you have not liked to have been present when the Lord began to proclaim that wonderful sermon there on the mount, to sit on the grassy slopes and hear the words emanating from the mouth of the Savior of the world? And how one's soul surely would be stirred as they hear those wonderful words of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer. We see grace again as Jesus is resurrected from the grave. The wonderful grace of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the death of Jesus Christ and the burial of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men after me." God's wonderful grace. And for that, we ought to be eternally grateful unto the God of heaven. And sometime when you and I get on our high horses, all we need to do is think about God's wonderful grace through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and bring us back down to the world and understand that we were nothing separate and apart from the Son of God, and we can never be anything separate and apart from God and his wonderful and beloved Son. We see God's grace again in the ascension of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer. And as he has ascended to be on high with the Father, and those two men in white apparel looks at the Lord as he ascended and said, "Why gaze ye up into the heaven? The same Jesus who ye see ascending shall return in like manner of fashion." That's God's grace. That's the wonderful grace of God sending his only beloved Son to come and live among men and ultimately die that we through him might live forever and ever. We see God's grace through that of the Holy Spirit coming. How that the Lord said, "I will send you a comforter, and he will guide you into all truths." And how the Holy Spirit certainly has revealed unto us through the mighty word of God our responsibility unto the same. And for that again, we are so thankful for this wonderful grace and the workings of the Holy Spirit. I see the grace of God again in the apostles as they would wrought the works of God Almighty, telling men and women and boys and girls how they must live this side of eternity. And how we must carry ourselves in a way that would be certainly beholden unto the God of heaven. Grace, a wonderful word. A wonderful perception of the God of heaven. We see the wonderful way that God has blessed us again and again. God's grace have done everything for us and made everything possible for us. And the only thing grace is saying unto us is that we must appropriate it. We must come to the table. Sometimes we sing that old spiritual hymn, "All things are ready. Come to the feast." Everything has been prepared for us. There is nothing lacking. There is nothing that God has forgotten. Everything is laid there on the table for us. And the only thing that we need to do is come and to appropriate the gift of God. And we can have eternal salvation through our obedience unto the word of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing this morning? God's wonderful grace. And so certainly when we look to the word of God and look at the Old Testament in particular, we began to see the wonderful way that God manifested this supreme grace unto us. We can see the supreme grace of God unfolding as God will deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage after those 400 and some years, and how they burst forth for the very first time in expressions of freedom. That is God's grace. And this grace could only be grace until the people of Israel were receptive of it. And they were receptive of this grace by being obedient unto the word of God and marching toward Zion as God would encourage them to march, and by observing the laws of God, not that they had done any great works themselves, but they were obedient and brought their lives in compliance to the word of God. Not that they were so great, because when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 9 verses 5 and 6, the Bible said there were no righteousness about them. There were no goodness about them. In fact, the Bible said they were a stiff-necked people. But we'll find that God's grace would direct them and guide them into the promised land and establish them in a land where they did not have to dig or plant vineyards. The wonderful grace of God. And all of that grace would have been negated had not Israel been recipients of the grace of God and obedience unto the same. We see the grace of God in a wonderful way through the life of Israel as he would bring them along and develop them in a wonderful and caring and compassionate way. We see the grace of God again when we look at Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer, how that he would come again and live among men and ultimately die that we might have eternal life. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's God's grace. The wonderful grace that we ought to be expressive of again and again in our lives as Christians, to thank God for the wonderful way that he has blessed and provided the provisions of salvation for us. He died for the sins of the world. And because he died for the sins of the world, we must be sure that we appropriate this grace of God and be obedient unto the glorious gospel of God and his Son, and become New Testament Christians and serve him to the very best of our ability. God has set forth the means by which grace may be received, and that certainly is through obedience unto the word of God. Man has a choice this morning. We can choose to accept God's grace, or we can reject the grace of God. When we look at the book of Joshua, the chapter is 24 and verse number 15. The writer says, choose you this day whom you will serve. There is a responsibility on the part of men. If we are going to be recipient of this grace of God, we must appropriate it. We must reach and take it. It's just like a poor man who is on the street and he's begging for bread. And someone come along with a loaf of bread and extend unto him this bread, and he will not receive that gift. He is rejecting grace. He's rejecting the gift. And in that same sense, we have a choice that must be made this morning as sons and daughters of God and those outside of the body of Christ, whether we're going to obey God or whether we're going to serve the God of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 13, and he understood then that there were going to be some choices that men had to make, and ultimately the majority would make the wrong choice. For the Lord said, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. And certainly it is true that you and I, if we are going to be recipients of the grace of God, it is going to have to be obedience to the provisions that God has made for us. And if we will simply do that, we can rejoice with God, not only this side of eternity, but in that eternity, but in that great and notable day of the judgment when we hear the God of heaven say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, God is not slack concerning his promises. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would have all men to be saved. But in order to be saved, we must be those individuals who appropriate and receive the grace of God. And if we do that, certainly we can rejoice in the Lord again and again and again. Peter admonished us in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse number 40. He emphasized, save yourselves from this untoward generation. There's a choice that had to be made. These men and women were responsible for putting Jesus Christ to the cross and bringing him unto a shameful death there. And in verse number 37 of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, the Bible emphasized, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do for what? What shall we do for the fact that we've crucified the Son of God? And the Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is an appropriation of God's word that we must do. We must repent and obey those truths in order to be recipients of the grace of God. Verse 41 of the same chapter, how they that gladly received the word were baptized and added to the body of Christ that same day. So God's grace is wonderful. But to experience that grace, we must be those who are going to appropriate the gift that God extends to us in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Even though God's grace hath provided the means by which man could be set free from the ravages of sin, we'll still find that there remains before mankind a choice that we must make to avail ourselves to the grace of God, this very grace by which we are saved through obedience faith. When we look to the Old Testament and see that God brought salvation to the house of Rahab, it was God's grace. It was Rahab's house obedient by allowing that scarlet cord to extend down from the window. Obedience. And it is in the same sense that we are brought into a state of experiencing God's grace by obedience unto the word of God. This is God's gift, and it is not of ourselves. And just simply by our obedience unto the word of God and bringing our lives in compliance to the truths of God, we can be recipients of this wonderful grace. Salvation by grace through faith has both a human and divine side. And both are equally essential if man is to be saved. Oftentimes in the religious world today, there are religious folk who just misunderstand these particular concepts. In trying to praise God for his great love and salvation, oftentimes man fail simply to show this appreciation, because what man tend to do is sit back and allow God to do everything. But there is some obedience on the part of men that must be accomplished if we're going to enjoy the grace of God. One cannot just fold their arms and say, God, work your magic, work your grace in my life. There has to be some obedient faith if we are going to bring our lives in compliance to the will of God and be saved in that great and notable day of the judgment. Certainly there are commandments that God has given us that we must bring our lives into compliance with. And when we do those things, certainly it brings us into a state of salvation in Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer. But God certainly has given us those great truths that we can know, that we can understand and obey the same. For by grace have you been saved. Certainly emphasize God's part in man's salvation. Man's sinful condition is clear. There is no doubt about that. When we look to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 3, we'll emphasize that where the Bible said that we were dead in trespass and we were walking according to the course of this world, and our conversation was in the lust of the flesh. That is how we live. That is the kind of life that we were conducting separate and apart from God. So the Bible emphasizes in Colossians 3 and verse number 5 that we must mortify, or we must kill, these various sins that are ravaging in our being, in our daily conversation. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're going to be recipients of the grace of God today. We're going to have to be obedient servants, and thanks be to God that he by his grace hath provided a scheme of redemption, a scarlet cord coming down from heaven unto us. And that if we would just simply extend ourselves and take hold of that scarlet cord, which is indicative of our obedience unto the word of God, then certainly we can be saved. There is a responsibility that he places upon us in the body of Jesus Christ, things that we must do. And when we do those things, we can certainly become sons and daughters of the God of heaven. The Bible emphasizes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20, how the Lord emphasized that Jesus became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So there again we see the grace of God. I see the grace of God wonderfully working in the lives of men and women every day as they bring their lives in compliance to the word of God. But again, we must obey. Think of it for just a moment. A mother awakening on a winter's morning and have children that must be fed, oatmeal forced down their throat, and getting them ready to come to church on a Sunday morning, to come to Bible study and hear the word of God. Getting in that car that is cold on a winter's morning and coming across those slippery roads to come and hear the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Redeemer. And to sit at the feet of those who are proclaiming the word of God. That's obedience unto God's grace. And those would be great men and women who are going to receive the blessings of God Almighty because of that. The scheme of redemption is due to God's grace. And this grace is simply God's gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Somebody had said it, well said, that a gift refused is not a gift at all. It is only an offering. We must take the gift of God by obedience. We must be recipients of the glorious gospel of Christ that tells us about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. And we must be obedient unto the same if we are going to please the God of heaven. So this grace does bring salvation. And we see man's part in all of this. The Bible emphasizes in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, many of the signs truly that Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we must be those who believe in the word of God, believe in the glorious gospel of God and his dear Son. The Bible emphasizes in Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 21, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. So in a wonderful way, we can see there is a part that man also have in this grace that we are to be recipient of from the God of heaven. We must take this grace. We must appropriate this grace. And it is only done through man's part of obedience. The Bible emphasizes in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, though he were son, yet learned he obedience. And we can see that even Jesus Christ was obedient unto the Father. So in a very wonderful way, we can see this great and wonderful and glorious grace that God has bestowed upon us as sons and daughters in the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm saved. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We are saved now through the grace of God and our obedience unto the same. All that man must do must be appropriated through the blessings of God's grace, and it can be labeled as faith. The sinner must believe in God. Jesus said, except you believe that I'm he, ye shall die in your sin. And so certainly that is one of the great parts of our responsibility of being recipients of this grace. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins. Luke 13, 3. And also verse number 5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then that great confession, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 31 and 32, the confession that we must make that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Acts 2 and verse number 38, repent and be baptized. The wonderful expressions of our obedience unto the God of heaven, that we love God and that we want to continue to be recipients of his grace. I see grace again this morning when it comes to worshiping God upon the first of the week. When men and women and boys and girls across this whole country get up on any given Sunday morning, after being through a tedious week of work and labor and difficulties, and their mind and body have been taxed to no end, and your body is tensed as tense can be, and you're wound up almost as tight as a clock can be, but then you go to the house of God and study those great precepts of God and obey all of the commandments of God, and you'll find that when you worship God in spirit and in truth, according to God's truths, oh, how every nerve fiber in your body and in your being began to unwind, and you can relax because you have met God in worship, obedience unto God's grace. And that ought to be for us every Lord's Day morning when we come to the house of God. But I see grace again this morning when I see sons and daughters of God who are living lives in compliance to God's will, who want to do the truths of God, who want to be obedient unto the God of heaven, who wants to submit their will unto the will of the Father. That's obedient Christians. And there's nothing like submitting ourselves unto the will of the Father. There is nothing like understanding that without God, we are nothing in this world or the world to come. And therefore, we choose to be submissive and bring our lives into compliance to the word of God Almighty. So man is saved because of God's grace and our obedient faith. Has nothing to do with works of merits that we might do, but it has all in the world to do with obedient faith. My Lord has commanded it. And because my Lord has commanded it, I'm going to bring my life in compliance to the same. Man can never merit salvation. He can never work for it. Yet the Bible plainly says he must obey in order to be recipients of the grace of God. Aren't you so thankful this morning for God's grace? We have experienced and tasted of the grace of God by even coming here this morning to feast upon God's unsearchable riches and to hear the word of God proclaimed unto us to teach us how to better live our lives and to conduct our lives and carry our lives in this present world. And so all that you and I need to do is to receive this grace and grow in this grace and continue to be obedient servants unto the Most High God. What a wonderful experience to experience God's grace. What a wonderful thought to wake up this morning alive. What a wonderful thought this morning to wake up and our hearts are beating and we are breathing and we can come and feast upon the word of God Almighty. Sadly, so many do not have this opportunity this morning. But we thank God for his grace. Somebody had said, and well said again, grace and obedience. These two words go together. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. We sometimes sing that old spiritual hymn again. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we've just begun. We'll be in heaven because of God's grace. We'll be in heaven not because of any works of merit, but we'll be in heaven in that great and notable day and singing those wonderful songs unto the God of heaven because we have been obedient to the grace of God Almighty. May God challenge us. May God help us to find the balance in our lives. May in the midst of a confused world regarding these two wonderful words that we'll find the balance. This wonderful grace of God. In a word, God is good, church. And for that, we're grateful. In a word, obedience over here. I want to do what my Lord encourages me to do through his word, obedience. And these two come together and fit perfectly in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless us. May God strengthen us. May God challenge us day by day to live and be thankful for the grace that he bestows upon us as sons and daughters of his. God bless you.